You know what? I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I'm a little nervous when I do this series. I start off nervous. It's not because I'm nervous about talking about sex or relationships. That's not what makes me nervous. That's what makes you nervous. What makes me nervous? All the giggles. Every time I say that now, it's going to be giggle, giggle, giggle. We know how many grade sevens and eights we have in our... Yes. Anyway, let's move on. So we're starting a series called Relationships That Honor God. I'm really excited about it. At the same time, I always dread it a little bit because some of it's really hard. It's really difficult for me to do. And some of it's sometimes difficult for us to hear. Because sometimes we just want to pretend God doesn't really think that way. Right? So we want to be careful a little bit. And so as we were singing that last song, something kind of struck me. It said, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. That's a pretty heavy statement, right? Really? Is it? That's a tough one, right? That's what we want, right? We're singing these things to God. We're not lying to him. We're like, okay, God, this is my desire. This is what I want to happen in my life. The reality is that we fail here, right? That we often chase after the other riches of other loves. And this is why I'm like, oh, this is a really cool song. I really, for our series, kind of going like, hey, this is kind of what we're talking about. This is why we're talking about this stuff. Nothing compares to your embrace. Nothing compares to the embrace of God. And sometimes we don't feel that way. Sometimes we doubt that. And sometimes we get deceived and go a different direction. But I think that's a really important thing to say, that, yeah, Lord, nothing compares with your embrace. I know that I may not feel that right now. I know that sometimes I struggle with that, and I fail, and I sin, and I get back up. But I need to believe this, and I understand that it's important for me. And then right at the end, it says, my heart will sing no other name, Jesus. And this is, you know what? This is what this series is about. That we would sing, that your heart would sing the name of Jesus, that it wouldn't sing about a boy, that it wouldn't sing about a girl, that it wouldn't sing about sex, that it wouldn't sing about all these other things above Jesus. All those things are good. I'm not saying they're bad, and we're going to get into that today. Those are good things, but none of them deserve the place that Jesus has in your life if you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, then Jesus isn't there. There's something else there, and you can go back to 2 weeks ago, we talked about that something is running your life. If it's not Jesus, it's something else or someone else that is running your life. You may think you're running your life, but you're really not. You're just disillusioned or deceived, maybe that's better. Okay, so that was a couple weeks ago. Then last week, Sam did her testimony, and I haven't heard it yet, but I've heard the effects of it, the ripple effect of it. So it was awesome. Everyone I've talked to is like, oh, have you heard this? I'm like, no, I haven't yet. But it was just phenomenal. If you missed last week, you need to hear this. I'm not sure how we're going to do this because we're not going to put it online, right?
Anybody can request it and like get it on a USB stick. I just don't want it.
Yeah, we'll put it on a USB or something and then you can listen. She just doesn't want, it's very personal, right? And so she just doesn't want to broadcast out there. It's not that a lot of people visit our youth website, but at the same time, then it's out there, right? So, right. And so what we'll do is put a link on the website that you can click and then it'll be an email link and you send me an email requesting it or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But it was, I haven't listened to it yet. I want to listen to it really bad. And I will. So that was last week. And one of the reasons we had Sam do her testimony was because of the issues of identity, which is what we just went through, right? A series on identity, who we are in Christ, which I think is foundational when it comes to relationships. We need to know, first of all, who we are. And that should govern our behavior, our thoughts, our hearts, our everything, is who we are. And then Sam did a masterful job, obviously, of bridging the two between relationships and identity. And so this is where we are today. So as we start, there's three things I want you to keep in mind. First of all, the big question. Here's the big question. Do you really want to know what God thinks? Do you really want to know what God thinks about sexuality and relationships? Do you really want to know?
Yes.
Do you? Think about it for a sec. Do you really want to know? Because I know there's lots of fear coming in. There's nervousness. There always is. I mean, I'm nervous. How could you guys not be nervous thinking about, am I off and relate? Like, here's the thing. What I want to do at the start of this talk is help you to understand that, for one thing, you need to know that I don't have any hidden agenda or motives here to hinder you somehow or make you, I don't know, not have any joy in your life. Right? You need to understand that I get nothing from this, okay? Except stress, okay? Because I'm talking to youth about sex and they giggle every time. There you go. Right? And relationships. This stuff is so important to you guys right now, right? For those of you guys grade 7, 8, it's just starting to get important to you. You're starting to think about stuff. For those of you in high school, this is like right at the forefront of your life. And so I just feel like I'm excited about it, but you need to know I don't have any hidden motivation that I'm not trying to steer you in a direction that benefits me in any way, shape, or form. You need to know I get no benefit from this at all. Like when I'm going to be saying some hard things, it's not going to be like, oh, well, Chris gets a pay raise because he says those things, or, you know, or gets even a pat on the back. No, I get sometimes like some angry stares, right? Those aren't fun. I don't know if you've ever had those, but people are really mad at you for what you've said. Especially when you say it publicly, it's awkward. So here's a passage in Isaiah, and Isaiah was a prophet in 700 plus BC, so quite a long time ago. Let's say about 2,700 years ago or so. This guy had some incredible prophecies. Prophesied about Jesus. Prophesied over 700 years before Jesus came, or was born, or became a man, or became a baby. Prophesied like all sorts of things that would happen in his death, and like really specific stuff. Crazy. Like only God can actually predict that kind of stuff to that intricate detail. It's like unbelievable. Unless you believe in God, then it's totally believable. But here's one of the things that Isaiah wrote, and Isaiah was writing. He was writing to a people that didn't want to hear from God. They were rejecting God's ways. They didn't want anything to do with God. What they wanted was what the world was offering them. And at that time, it's very similar to what we have. That the world around them, it was pagan cultures worshiping these false idols, these false gods. Really, they were demons. But around these false religions, these pagan religions, sexuality was like crazy. Temple prostitution, like it was like immorality. It was just like crazy. And they wanted that. And so this is, I thought that, well, this is kind of really applicable to our talk today. And so this is what Isaiah says to the people. Go now, or this is what God says to Isaiah. Go now, write it on a tablet for them. Inscribe it on a scroll, that for the days to come, it may be an everlasting witness. So he's telling them to write my words down. I want you to write it so that they'll last forever, which, I mean, 2,700 years later, we still have them, so go figure, hey? It'll be an everlasting witness. For these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, or the seer is someone who has, who God gives visions to, sometimes about some future stuff, but also known as prophets. So they say to the seers, see no more visions. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. Okay, this is where I don't want us to be, okay? I don't want us to stick our heads in the sand and go like, I can't hear you, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. That's what these people are doing. Isaiah is having direct revelations from God to the people, and this is what they're saying. Don't tell us the truth. Don't tell us what God wants. Tell us pleasant things. In other words, they're saying, lie to us. Just lie to us. Tell us lies that make us feel good. And so if that's what you want from a youth pastor, you probably should go to a different youth group, because it's not going to happen. At least I'm going to try my best for it not to happen. I don't want to prophesy illusions, which means to preach illusions. I don't want to preach just to make you like me. Like, that's not why we're here. I like you guys and I want you to like me. I'm otherwise, you know, it's kind of weird, right? But if, like, I don't want you guys to like me, right? That's kind of like, ooh, what's wrong with that dude? But what I really want for you guys is to hear what God wants for you. And this is why. This is why I think we don't need to be afraid, even though when we hear this, we're like, whoa! This is why we don't need to be afraid. It's because we have a big question, but we also need a vital perspective coming into this series. And the vital perspective is the answer to this question: what does God want for you? And this is what God wants for you. This is found in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, which is called Satan, comes only, right? This is the only reason Satan comes: to steal and kill and destroy. So when Satan is throwing the things of the world at you, that's his motivation. They're good, they're fun, they're things that God has created, but he wants you to use them outside of what God has designed them for, because then it's sin, and he can destroy you through it. So he comes only to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. This is what Jesus says: I have come, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Isn't that awesome? This is one of my theme verses. If you've been coming to this youth group for any amount of time, you've heard me say this verse a lot. I love this verse because I need to continually remind myself, especially when things don't seem like my life is full, right? When it seems like it's empty, or I'm depressed, or something else is wrong with me. I feel like I want to stray away from that. And I got to remember, the ways that God has for us, we don't need to be scared of them, because what he's doing is offering us full life. Okay, so I have like four kids. And so how we need to understand this verse is kind of similar to a father and his children. And so my kids want lots of stuff. My daughter wants candy all the time. My 5-year-old daughter wants candy for everything: for lunch, for supper, for breakfast, and she will ask for candy at any moment, anytime, pretty much all the time. She loves candy. Would I be a good dad if I just fed her candy all the time? It might seem like it for a while, right? Some of you guys are going like, yeah, it doesn't seem so bad. But think about a year down the road, maybe even a month. She'd be really sick. Yeah, probably 2 days. Actually, probably at the end of the day, she'd throw up for the first time. But, you know, over time, that would really be devastating to her, wouldn't it? She'd become malnutrition. She would eventually die, is what would happen. And so what you need to understand about God is that in the same way that I'm like, no, Everett, you need to eat your supper. Mommy has made for you is healthy, and you need to eat it. It's better than candy. It doesn't taste better than candy. It doesn't seem better than candy, because candy is awesome. But this is what you need. This is what your body needs. And so in the same way, this is how we need to think about God and his instruction for us and his word, is that the devil kind of wants, don't eat the good stuff. Eat the candy. It's way better. And what he's offering us is something that's going to destroy us over time. And it might, and you know, when it comes to sexuality, sexuality is very powerful and can destroy us in very short time, very short. And so we have to really watch out. And we need to understand that God comes to us as a father and goes like, I'm offering you full life. I want you to be healthy. I want you to have a life that you go like, oh, there's fullness in my life. Right? He doesn't want you to go like, I'm empty. And when we use relationships and sex or anything else that's good that God has given us outside of the way God's designed it for us, then we actually move towards that emptiness. It's why we feel empty. It really is. That's why we feel so empty sometimes, and maybe all the time, is because we're rejecting what God has for us. We're doing what those people said: I don't want to hear it. I don't want this. I don't want what God wants for me. I want what I want. And what problem is, it's just candy, and there's no nutrition in it, and eventually it's going to get you. Okay, so you need to have that big question: do I really want to hear from God? You need to have this vital perspective: what does God want for you? Right, the fullness. And thirdly, you need this essential understanding about life. See, here it is. Why am I here, and what is my purpose in life? Okay, this is answered. God answers this in the scripture. It's also answered in many catechisms, which says the chief purpose of man or humans, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Now, that's an incredible statement. But the problem is that if you separate glorify God and forget about the joy stuff, then it just seems like this religious task of trying to please God. And it just doesn't work, right, with our works. And the Bible, in fact, Isaiah, again, says that our works are like filthy rags, you know, before God, like dirty, filthy. But if you separate, if it's just joy, if it's just about joy, then what you do is you actually trade real joy in for just pursuit of happiness. And if your life is about a pursuit, if you're chasing after happiness, guaranteed you will never get happiness. It doesn't matter what the world offers you, it will not give you happiness. It's always fleeting. And what happens is it gives you this little shot like candy, this little like burst of energy kind of deal. And then after the burst of energy is gone, what happens? Crash, right? And you need to go get a Red Bull, right? But that's what's happening. And so what God wants for you is more than just feelings of happiness. He wants something that's greater than happiness. It's called joy. And they're not the same. Happiness is a feeling, is an emotion. Joy is something that's deep in your heart and doesn't matter what happens to you, can't be removed. For instance, there's a story in the Bible. You know what? Let's just go with Jesus. I don't have time to tell that story. We're already at quarter after. Jesus, on the cross, even that horrific death that Jesus faced did not rob him of joy. Do you guys realize this? That the joy of obeying his Father unto death, right to the very death, gave Jesus a fullness that can never be replicated by anyone else ever. Jesus is the perfect example of that. In the worst horrific situation, his joy could not be stolen. And he's just like, he's praying on the cross, Father, forgive those who are killing me. They don't know what they're doing. Please forgive them. Like, he's like, this is terrible what they're doing to him. And those people are like mocking him at the same time, making fun of him on the cross. And he can't do anything. Well, he could, but they think he can't do anything about it. So we need to have this really essential understanding about life, that our purpose as Christians is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's where the fullness comes in. Both things. You can't have one without the other. You guys tracking with me here? So I think that's the kind of the basis for this whole deal. Because another way of talking about glorifying God is to honor, right? To honor God in all that we do. In fact, our Accelerate team read 1 Corinthians. One of the verses in there was talking about in everything, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to honor God. Or do it to glorify God. And so that's why we call this series Relationships That Honor God. Because as Christians, if you're a Christian, if you're not, that's fine. You will be probably soon. Sorry. I'm not being arrogant. I'm just saying the fullness that Jesus offers is after a while of hearing it, you're just like, I gotta have it. Anyway, sorry. Where was I? The reason that we call this honor, relationships that honor God, is because that's what we want. Because when we honor God, we in turn get to enjoy Him. God actually infuses joy into your life when we honor Him. It's very cool. Now, joy doesn't mean absence of trouble and pain. And again, it's not the same as God just making you happy all the time. That's different. It's deeper. It's more significant. And the trials and hardship will come in your life. It's guaranteed. This life isn't meant to, well, it was originally designed to last forever, but because of sin, it now doesn't. And so this life on this earth will end, but you won't. There's life after death, but that's not why we're here. I don't know why I got into that. It's not in my notes, but that's what I do, right? So here's the thing, you guys. Because of these things, because of that big question, that is kind of scary, but because of the answer and because of this vital perspective that God actually wants the fullness. He's not trying to rob you of joy and happiness. That he has something better for you. And that this essential understanding, this is our chief purpose, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is why we don't need to fear what God has to say about sex and relationships. we can actually rejoice in it because we know it's for our benefit. And if we go like, yeah, God, I want that design. I want that to stay within your design. I want to honor you. The payback or the benefit of that is joy. Like God gives you joy and you don't have to suffer through the shame and guilt of a relationship that's not honoring to God, because that's the other side of it, right? If it's not honoring to God, what is it? There's only one other option, right? Either it's honoring God or it's not honoring God. And if it's not honoring God, it's bringing shame and condemnation and guilt, not from God, but from Satan, right? That's what he does. He's the accuser, and the Bible says he stands before God and night and day accuses the believers. There you go. Okay, so here's the deal. This is also another reason why I like this series, is because I really struggled through this as a teenager. And you guys think that maybe you're embarrassed, maybe embarrassed about some of your questions. I had all of those questions when I was your age. All of them. In fact, all of our leaders did, right? And some of them maybe still do. Right? But I just really struggled with it. I had no place to ask questions. So I'm like probably junior high-ish age, and my dad decides to have the sex talk with me and my brother. And my brother is 11 months younger than me. It's like, whoops. Anyway. Sorry, you'll understand better maybe after the series. Sorry. So my dad is so embarrassed to tell us about sex. He is like, he's beet red. He cannot talk. We're looking at each other going like, I don't know what he's saying. We're just lost, right? He's doing hand gestures and going like this kind of stuff. And we're like, we were lost. We had no clue what he was talking about, right? And then he's kind of like, okay, good talk, right? And we're like, after he leaves, like, do you know what he's talking about? No, I have no idea. We're like, that was weird, awkward, right? So anyway, that's the only talk I ever had my dad about sex. So I didn't have this kind of opening and same thing with that youth group. Nobody talked about it. It was just, you know, unfortunately, the church, even just like when I was in youth group, like but it would be about, 20 years or so ago, 25 years ago, there was no place for me to ask those questions. Those were taboo, and I was, and that sucks. And that hurt me, actually. I'm not blaming the church on my actions. Those were my actions. I messed up lots when it comes to that stuff. But I look back and go, like, how much better of a track could I have had had I been able to have a safe place to ask the hard questions about sex? I hope that this is going to be that for you. You guys need to know, we're here for you guys. We don't have hidden agendas. We're not some kind of cult that's trying to get your money, because you're students, you don't have any money, so I don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about our motivation, because what we want is this fullness that Jesus is offering. That's what we want for you guys. That's why we're doing this series. So I had these questions. Why does God want us? Okay, so here's the thing. I have all these desires and urges. Okay, let's just talk. I've never been a teenage girl, so I'm not exactly sure how you feel. But I have been a teenage boy, and I remember. And seriously, that's a long time ago. I still remember the feelings and the awkwardness and the hardship of navigating that era, that time in my life. It was really hard. I had so many questions. I had nowhere to ask, and I wanted to know, okay, so if the sex is so awesome, like our culture promotes it, it's in every movie, what's the deal? Why do we have to wait till we're married? That was a big question for me. And all I got whenever I could ask that, because that one's a pretty tame question to ask people, I would just kind of get, well, because God says so. And I'm like, yeah, I understand that he says so. I know he says so. I want to know why. Why does he do that? Like, why? And so hopefully over the next few weeks, we're going to answer some of these questions that I had when I was a kid, when I was your age. And we're not going to answer every question that you have. And we're going to have a panel at the end of this series of leaders where you can grill them. Yes. It's going to be awesome. My leaders are going like, stop doing that. You're encouraging them. We really want you guys to ask good questions. Because here's the deal. Sex is not dirty. And here's my problem. When I grew up, because it was taboo to talk about, because we couldn't talk about it in church, because youth group never mentioned the word sex, I just grew up thinking it was dirty and bad, and that's kind of how I thought God viewed sex, which sucks, because that's not how God views sex. So you need to understand that if you think the church thinks sex is dirty, you are mistaken. That's not what the church, at least the church of Jesus, thinks. That's not what the Bible says about sex. The Bible has tons to say about sex. Not one time does it talk negatively about sex. And you're like, what? Hold on. Not one time does it talk negatively about sex when it's used the way God has designed it to be used. Not one time. The Bible is clear that sex is not dirty, that sin is dirty. So when we use sex outside of God's plan, which is one man, one woman, in a marriage covenant relationship, becoming one flesh. We're going to read it in a couple minutes here. That's God's design for sex. And when we use it outside of that, then it becomes sinful. And that's why we feel dirty. And that's why we feel shame. And that's why we feel these other things. Is because it's outside of the way God's designed it. And he's designed it for our benefit. And again, for our joy. You have to understand this. That the Bible doesn't paint this horrible picture about sex. So what does the church believe? What does the Bible believe? And what should the church be teaching? First of all, sex is not dirty. You need to understand that. Second of all, sex is not God. We do not worship sex. We do not elevate sex above God's word. What happens is when you decide that you're going to use sex outside of God's design, that's when you elevate it over God. That's when sex actually becomes your God and you become a slave to it. Okay, so we don't believe that either. We don't believe sex is God. But our culture does. And you know how you can tell? There's temples everywhere. There's magazine racks. That's a perfect example of a temple made erected to this god of sex. There's strip clubs. There's sex on TV all the time. Like 50 Shades of Grey just came out. I mean, it's like pornography, right? That's just what it is. And it's about hurting women. And I'm like, how do people go to this and watch it on screen as if it's, like, it's horrific. And it's violent pornography. And I'm like, what? How did this get into mainstream culture? It's because sex is our God, is the God of this culture. That's why. That's the only way that something like that gets in, is because people worship it. It's on every advertisement. You want to sell something? Have you ever watched an ad, like Axe, for instance? Have you ever watched an ad and went at the end? I don't know what they were trying to sell. But man, there were some hot chicks in that. Right? Yes, see? Yeah. Or some hot guys, sorry. It's not pushing the girls out or whatever. But what they're trying to sell you is this identity. And it's a sexual identity. And so you're like, I don't even know what they're selling, but I like it. Right? Because it appeals to something in us. And you know what I'm realizing something here is that this talk is going to have to be split up. Right. So we're still answering the first question. Why could God make it so hard to wait? Here's the deal. It's because God made sex a gift. And it's not just a gift. It's a divine gift. Because here's one of the lies that our culture will tell you. And it comes from, I guess, kind of an atheistic view of life. That we don't actually have a purpose. That we have no meaning. That we're just highly evolved animals we've evolved above the other species of animals. So sex just becomes a procreation act, an act for personal pleasure. It just becomes a physical act. But that's not what God says about sex. God says, okay, if you think Christianity is lame when it comes to sex, listen to this. God says that sex is not just physical. He says that two become one, that something happens that's more than physical, that there is emotional, spiritual, and physical and emotional connection. This is why we become one through sex. It's not just an act of passion, or it's just not just an act of physicality. It's more than that. It's greater than that. The Bible says it's way bigger than that. And why? It's because it's spiritual. It's a divine gift. That's why it's so hard to wait, is because it's so powerful, because it's divine. It's a divine gift from God. So this is what the Bible, like, I haven't even got into the Bible. We're going to have to get this next week, right? We're going to get, and I'm going to do the second part of this talk next week, which is the divine part. This is why it's so powerful. This is why it governs us. And so here's the thing. When something is divine and it's used outside of God's design, what happens? There's divine. When we're talking about divine, we're talking about God stuff, things that honor God, glorify God. So what's the opposite of divine? Demonic. Okay? Because it's spiritual, guys. It's not just physical. Spirituality is involved. This is why God is saying, wait, I've designed it. It's powerful and it's awesome in marriage. It's for your pleasure. It's for your connection. It's for you to become one flesh. The Bible talks like this crazy talk, right? One flesh. What? It's because it's more than a physical act. There's something significant happening in your souls when this happens. And God says it can only happen in a way that glorifies God and gives you true joy when you do it the way that God's designed it to happen. When you do it outside of that, when sex happens outside of that, then it becomes demonic and it becomes destructive to your spirituality. That's why it's so hard to wait, you guys. That's why it's difficult. Because here's the thing, your body is telling you something different, right? Your body is saying, okay, I'm just talking for guys here. Your body is saying, go, 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 right? When you get aroused, when you get going, when your blood gets boiling, that's what your body's doing. It's telling you to go, okay? Because physically, your body's ready. But God is saying, I know that's hard, it's difficult, but use it in the design that I have for you, and it will bring you joy, great joy. And it will honor God. And that's the chief end of our life. That's why we're Christians, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So why does your body say yes? Well, that's why. Right? Your body's ready to go. It's physically ready. And so, guys, you need to understand your bodies are not going to help you here. Same with your emotions. They're not going to help you. Girls especially, guys not so much. Guys, it's more the body stuff, right? Is that their bodies are saying go, 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 and you know, girls come like a little bit later along. Yeah, anyway. You're like, I'm like my dad here. I'm like doing hand gestures. Anyway. I just totally lost my train of thought. There's a crash and burn. All right, where was I? What's that? Emotional response, yeah. Here's the thing. You will feel emotions and attraction. Guys will... Okay, attraction is both ways. Emotional attraction is where the girls become... you're attracted physically too. This is in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about how girls are wired and created. Females look through a relational lens. So when they're at a movie and it's... You know, it's PG, you know, it's pretty tame, or maybe even, yeah, PG, let's go with PG. They're like, oh, and they're thinking about, they're looking at the movie and they're just, you're viewing it through the lens of relationship the whole time. The guy, not one time during that movie, thought about a relationship. Not once. All he was subjected to is the most beautiful artificial women in the world. That's all he was thinking. Wasn't thinking about relationship. It's because we're wired differently, and that's not bad. It's not like, oh, boys are terrible. No, It's because God has created us differently, and we're going to talk about that in the, over the next 2 weeks. Next week, we're talking about how guys are wired, how God has created us, and then we're going to talk about the week after, we're going to talk about how girls are wired and how God has created them. And so it's going to be lots of fun. I'm really excited about it. Yeah, it's a couple of new talks, because we do this every 2 years. We do this series, and it's a couple of new talks that we're going to introduce, and I'm looking forward to them. So that's kind of the introduction to this series, guys. I'm really excited about it. Sorry you didn't get to open your Bibles. Next week we will open our Bibles for sure. We will finish this talk. It'll become part two. And yeah, we'll go from there. So here's what I want for you guys to get from this. I want you to understand that what I'm really asking is for you guys to have an open mind, not just towards the culture and media, but to God. Have an open mind to what God has to say about it, because He created it, He designed it. And so I just want to leave you kind of with this image as we go. Going back to design. Now, I've used this illustration before, and I think it's pretty good. So if I was to give my son, if he loved baseball, and I gave him a baseball bat, and he was just like, oh, thanks, Dad. And I bought him the best baseball bat money could buy. It was the best bat ever. Okay, and I'm proud of my son. I'm like, oh, here you go. Here's a bat. Now you can just like crank that ball out of the park. And so, I go away and I leave my son with the bat. And, I come home later that day and the cops are out in front of my house. And they have my son in the back. And I'm going like, what's going on? And they're like, did you give your son this baseball bat? I'm like, well, yeah, he loves baseball. Well, he took it to school and beat the crap out of some kid. What would the reaction as dad be? What? It's not my fault, right? I gave him the bat for baseball. Like, that's me. That's what I would be doing. But here's the thing with God and sex, is that God has designed sex to be awesome. Okay? He's designed it that way. And so it's like he's given us this baseball bat. And he's like, this is what I want you to do with it. I want you to take it out to the baseball diamond, and I want you to start cranking baseballs out of the park. But when you take that baseball bat and you take it to school and beat some kid down with it, that's the same, that's what's going on. When we take sex outside of the way that God has designed it, we use this awesome gift, and we use this gift for evil. Now, is the bat evil or dirty? Well, it might have blood on it, I guess. Sorry. But is it evil or dirty? No, it's not. It was used outside of its, out of its purpose, right? And so I want to leave you guys with that thought in mind. As we go through this series, just think about that. That this is a design thing. That God has designed it for a purpose. And if we use it for that purpose, it glorifies Him and gives you joy. And when we use it outside of God's purposes, it brings us shame and guilt and destruction in our life. And it's kind of like the baseball bat that was taken to school to beat some kid with. You've just taken God's gift and trashed it. Now, because we believe in Jesus, if you've done that, you are, again, not just the baseball bat. You're not dirty either, okay? That's not the issue either, okay? And I don't want you to walk away from here if you've already screwed up there. I don't want you to walk out of here going like, oh, I'm done. This sucks. I don't want to come to this series because I'm doomed already. No, 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 no. This is why, again, we have no fear when we come to this series, because of Jesus' death on the cross for your sin. When you become a Christian, He pays for all of it. There's no sin that's greater than Jesus' death, the penalty that He paid. Now, you might feel shame. You might feel dirty. But Jesus will clean you up, and He will pick you up, and He will put you back on the path. He will love you and forgive you, and you can start again. That's the awesome thing about God. So if you're hearing this talk and you're just kind of getting beat down, you feel like, it's not too late. Embrace what God has for you, because the design is still there. You can change course. That's what actually, when we repent, the word repent is actually changing course. It's turning around. And so God wants to give you that opportunity. And His invitation is like, come to me. I'll help you. I'll clean you up. you're my son, you're my daughter. Like, go back a couple weeks ago when we talked about those, the prostitute and the prodigal son. Like, really important illustrations for us to remember. That's how God embraces us after we've messed up. And there's no sin that's too great that God can't forgive you for. And so, that's I feel like I always need to tell that when I'm talking about sex and the destruction that it can cause. It's not too late to turn to God and reject the brokenness and the destructiveness of sex used outside of God's design and embrace His design for it and chase after Him. So that's our talk for today. It went a little bit different direction than I had anticipated, which is fine. Because I think we needed to have it, right? It was that song, I think, triggered something in me going like, we need to have a more kind of open discussion about how we should view sex as Christians, or if you're not a Christian, or how we Christians view sex. And I think it's pretty grand, right? So was this talk positive for you guys? Yeah, because, I mean, you guys were listening really closely, but these lights are way darker than the other ones, and I can't see you as well. So, I hope this helps. And again, use this as an opportunity to open your mind to what God has to say about sex, because our culture is preaching like crazy at you through all sorts of mediums, music and movies and TV and billboards and magazine racks, and they're just preach. And you need to, at some point, kind of go like, okay, everyone's preaching at me. Culture's preaching at me. Pastor Chris is preaching at me. My mom and dad are preaching at me. These friends are preaching at me. Hold on. Who am I going to believe? Who's going to benefit from this, right? A culture benefits because they get your money. I mean, that's what they're after too, right? Not just sex. They want money. Your friends benefit for whatever reason. I don't know. I'm just telling you, again, our motivation here is for your fullness, and you can try to corner me on that in any way, shape, or form that you want. I guarantee you I don't have any negative motivation in trying to help you navigate this time in your life. So let me pray for you and stop talking so that you can talk in your small groups. Heavenly Father, thank you for these students. They are awesome. I love them. They're just such a cool age. It's such an amazing... students are amazing people, and I thank you that you've given us this time in our life. And I know even though it's really difficult, but there's something about being a student that's just incredible. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for these students, how valuable they are, how much you love them, how much pleasure you take in these students who belong to you is just unbelievable. They don't even understand how much pleasure you have in them. And and we feel shame because we mess up, especially in the areas of sexuality that really brings lots of shame. But Lord, help us to see how you view us, that you take great pleasure in us, that you weren't surprised by our mistakes and by our, when we falter and when we sin. You're not surprised by that. You know, you created us. And you take great pleasure in us. Thank you for that. Lord, I just pray you'd be with each leader and student in their discussion time. Just pray they'd have a great discussion. And Lord, open our mind to what you have to say. I don't want us to come in here closed-minded. Help us to open our minds what you have. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.